somebody needs to be reassured of that.
Yes,
Lord.
Not some of your help.
Jesus.
Not the stuff you think you got down packed and then. All of my help comes. All of your help comes from the Lord. Sometimes we try to do some things in our own, and then we get our back to the wall, then we call on the Lord. The Lord wants to be our very present help in the time of trouble. Come on. Hallelujah. I want you to look at somebody next to you and just say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Look up.
Look up.
That's where your help is coming from.
That's where your help is coming from.
Come on, tell somebody else. Say, look up.
Look up.
That's where your help is coming from. Come on, now it's time to go vertical. Come on. It's time to go vertical. It's time to go vertical. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bless our psalmist. Carol has the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, and we're entering into a new series this week called Going Vertical. Amen. And this series is all about us learning to begin to live a vertical life. What does that mean? That means where our focus and our priorities will always begin upwards. You know, the Bible says that we ought to set our minds on things which are above. And I've realized that one of the problems is that it's so much easier for us to stay grounded, so to speak. Being grounded meaning we keep our focus on what's down here. When the scriptures are full of accounts of men and women of God who decided to not get focused upon what they see around them, but who had the audacity to begin to look up and understand that their redemption draweth nigh. It doesn't come from what we from those around us. It comes from the Lord, amen? So we need to begin to become a vertical people, a people who always keep our focus on what's above the situations around us, amen? Come on, let's just lift up our hands. Let's get ready. Our help is coming. Our help has come, amen. Lord, you are our helper. You are helping us in every situation. Lord, we know we just went through a storm in this city. But Lord, we won't be doom and gloom ministers. But Father, we understand that these circumstances are designed for us to look up.
Yes.
Knowing that, Father, we won't get so comfortable what we see around us, but understand that you are our Lord, you are our helper, and that you are the Lord, and you are in control.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you now that in this prayer of faith, in the song that we just ministered, we now posture ourselves to begin to look towards you. We turn our eyes to the hills, knowing that our help comes from you. Yes. We are ready to receive, Father, that which you have in store for us. Father, I pray that every heart, every person that's in this place, let their ears be open. Give them a heart to be receptive and a mind to be open to receive this word that's going to come. Lord, we're ready to go up. For when we go up, Lord, your glory will come down. Father, we upgrade our mindsets this day. And we get ready to receive from you that which you have in store. Holy Spirit, speak through me. I am your manservant. I pray now that you open the door of utterance, that you will speak directly into the hearts of every person that's under the sound of my voice. I thank you now, God, for what you're about to do in this place. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God another round of applause. Amen. And amen. You may have your seats. Hallelujah. And we're getting ready, as we said, we're beginning on our new series called Going Vertical. Vertical. Now, the Lord gave me this word, as I was beginning to begin this work, it was two messages God gave me to preach before I even came. He said, talk about good news, and then he said, go vertical. He said, show this thing vertical. So I know these are what the Lord had wanted to touch on. And before I go any further, I just want to acknowledge my mother that's here. Come on, can we go to my spiritual mother as well as my natural mother?
Amen.
to get grounded in the faith and her discipline. Her discipline. The Bible said that foolishness is bound up in a child. It's your favorite verse. But the rod of correction will what?
Drive it out.
Parents should know that verse. Amen. That was my mother's favorite verse as I was growing up. And so she made sure the foolishness that was in me, she drove it out. Right? And so this is my mom. I love her so much. And I just thank her for being here today to hear this word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I told you guys we're beginning our vertical series. We're spending 4 weeks in this series. And I'm telling you, you don't want to miss not one. Week one, I'm just going to give you guys an overall breakdown. First week is going to be, we're focusing on having a vertical focus. All right? A vertical focus. Week two, we're going to be talking about having a vertical purpose. Week three, we're going to be talking about having vertical power. And in week four, we're going to have to be talking about vertical living. All right? So vertical focus, vertical purpose, a vertical power, and vertical living. I believe that it is God's desire that the people of God live a life that's far above, that's superior, that cannot be matched with any other life that's found down here on this earth. I believe that the people of God are supposed to live a supernatural life. That's what I believe. Amen. Know about you, but I believe we serve a supernatural God. The Bible says that we now are partakers of His divine nature. That means that God wants us to live a supernatural life. And I believe that one of our frustrations is that we want to be normal. Once God took residence on the inside of you, you're no longer normal. You can't fit in.
True, that's true.
Bible says that you are a peculiar people now.
Yes, yes. That's true.
You are weird. So the frustrations that comes oftentimes is that we just want to be normal. When there is a demand that is now being placed in you and around you from circumstances of life, that are now calling on the glory that's within you. That people are looking for the God that's resting on the inside of you now. And you can't live a normal life.
Jesus.
So I'm realizing that now I'm just starting to learn to just roll with it now. Just cope with the fact that I can't fit in down here. You know, one of my favorite movies, well, not one of my favorites, but it has this a part in Spider-Man. And you know, Spider-Man got bit with this spider, which is Peter Parker. And when he got bit, the story goes that he started getting these powers to operate like a spider, which gave him this supernatural abilities that he was able to crawl on walls and web sling and do all this stuff. But this power gave him the ability to become a savior to people around him, right? He was able to help people in trouble, and he realized, like, I got this power now. And then I remember there was a part where he wanted to just be normal again. Remember that? And he threw away the spider costume, and he just wanted to live. And then he was seeing situations around him that he knew he had the power to change. But because he just wanted to be normal, he just walked past and ignored it. Then his grandfather one day was getting robbed. And there was a person who actually, he saw somebody else get robbed. And he had the power to stop that man. But he let it slide. Come to find out, that guy ended up killing his grandfather the same night. He had the power to stop. He saw the incident happen before. And he had the power to stop it. But he was like, nah, I'm not going to be Spider-Man. I'm just going to be Peter Parker. And that night, his father was outside. He robbed the guy, went outside, and ended up robbing his grandfather's car, ended up killing his grandfather when he had the power to stop it before it happened. And I believe that just like how we have the power to stop some things, But we refuse to do anything about it because we don't want to embrace the power that's living on the inside of us. And there's some things that happen in our, around us, maybe in our families, with some friends, with our co-workers, that God is giving you the power to do something about, but you're trying to be normal. And then when something happens, you want to blame God for not doing something about it. And I want to think about how many things that I let pass, I let slide by me that I had the power to change that I didn't do anything about. This is why inside the movie, the quote came about that said, with great power comes great responsibility. Great power comes great responsibility. And so this series is designed for us to begin to renew our mind and get to a place where we can embrace the fact, listen, we're not normal. And we are living from above. The Bible says we are born from above. We're born again. We have access to intelligence. We have access to resources. We have access to power that the rest of this world don't have access to. And the way that it starts is by us generating a vertical focus.
Amen.
Let's look at Psalm chapter 121. Psalm 121, this was the verse that was sung so beautifully and melodically by Sister Carol Ruiz.
Amen.
Anointed, amen. Amen. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. You know, I've realized something. It's more natural for us, even as I'm up here right now, I'm looking down. It's more natural for us to look down than it is for us to look up. You know that? You know, you find yourself walking in the street, and you don't see anybody walk like this.
Yeah.
You see, either they're looking forward or slightly down, right? Why is it that our gaze is more focused downward than it is upward? I believe that this came as a result of our fallen nature. That after we sinned, we began to become more consumed with life down here than we were focused on the presence of God. I really believe that. It's like when something goes wrong in your life, what's the first thing that happens? The person feels what? Down.
Mm-hmm.
And they look down. And then somebody has to come and encourage you and say, pick your head up. I believe also one of the things is that the Bible says that we were created from the dust of the ground. So we were created from the dust of the ground, and God breathed his spirit on the inside of us. But when we sinned, we lost communion with that spirit. So now all we knew was now the dust again. So now when we feel down, we look to hope for hopeless comfort by looking down to the ground we came from. Not knowing that in reality we have access to the Spirit of God that wants to pick us up out of every situation that we love to face in life. But it's more natural, our natural tendency is to simply look down, feel down, and look to the ground for help. And when you look to the ground, I want you to realize you look at your limitations. When you see the ground, you see the end. But if we look up, we see the sky. And the sky has no limits.
True.
So when I look down, I see limits. When I look to the sky, I see no limits. So God wants us to look up and develop a vertical mindset, because when we have a vertical mindset, we have access to a limitless life. But the minute we continue to stay grounded and we look down, then all we see are the impossibilities and see what can't happen for me or what can't turn around in my life, because that's all that I have access to. access to. But no, we have access to a God who knows no limits. And he wants us to stay reminded of that when we learn to become vertically minded.
Yes.
Somebody say vertical.
Vertical.
All right? So before I go any further, we have a video that I want you guys to show you. You want to be interactive. Amen.
Amen.
God's given us technology, so we want to be interactive with this. We live in a TV generation, that's right? So I'm show this video, I'm gonna jump right back into this message, all right? Situations in your life right now that you feel you're restricted to. Just think about it, maybe a physical condition, it may be an ailment, it may be a financial situation, something that's keeping you back right now. I want you to get a new perspective today. I want you to get a new perspective in knowing that in verse 1 of Psalm 121, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. You know, the psalmist at this point in this scripture, he must have been facing a crisis of some sort. He must have been facing some type of dilemma. He must have been going through something. His back was against the wall. And before this moment, he was looking elsewhere for help. You know, and this can relate to us. Maybe it's a physical condition. You look to the doctors for help, and you look for man to help you and certain things like that, and nothing seems to have working out for you. You may be a business person, a businessman, a businesswoman. You're trying to get your business off the ground, and it just can't seem, nothing seems to work out for you. Plans keep falling through. You may be desiring to have your own home, and every time you reach out to landlords or just whatever the case may be, the loans you've been looking for, banks have been shutting you down. It's like he's been looking for help, and nothing seems to have been working out. And so at this point, he gets a revelation of some sort and says, wait a minute, I'm not going to focus on what's down here, what's available to me in the natural. I'm going to begin to lift up my eyes. You know, the word eyes usually means our focus or our perspectives. Our perspectives. So at this point, he was saying, I'm getting a new perspective on my situation. You know, right now, it doesn't seem like there's a way out of what I'm going through. But I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. Now, he said, I'm looking up to the hills, but I believe he was more so referring to the fact that, you know, the Bible shows us that the Jews used to worship on hills, worship on mountains. Remember when Moses used to go up to the mountain to receive a word from the Lord? Or even in the New Testament, you see Jesus oftentimes go up to the mountain. Bible shows that Abraham went up to the mountain to sacrifice Isaac for worship. The hills spoke of the place where people met the presence of God. So he said, I'm going to look up to the place where I have access to God's presence, because that is in reality where all of my help will be coming from. Amen?
Amen.
And so he dared to continue to see more. You know, I look at right now, I was online for 3 hours yesterday getting gas. I got gas, by the way. Marcus and I was calling back and forth like, yo, you know who got gas? You know, I finally got some gas after 3 hour wait.
Wow.
You know, I was tempted to just turn some water into gas. Come on, what would Jesus do, right? It was either that or get some corn oil and put it in the gas tank, because I heard that works. You heard they do that in the Midwest.
That's why they're in the Midwest.
Nah, but, you know, I was just looking at it, and one of the things that I realized, even when I was sitting on that line, I was just watching all the people. As soon as the gas tank came, 2 minutes later, cops had to come right around the corner.
Yeah.
Because a fight was about to break out. And, you know, there was many stories of actual fights and people pulled out guns on each other for gas. For a luxury. You don't need to drive, do you? You don't need it to live. But people were willing to take someone's life for gas. All right? Now, it helped me to understand what a famine mindset will do.
Wow.
A mindset where you don't feel like you have anything, like you're in lack. And I just said, wow, this is for gas. Imagine if this was for food. I mean, I don't even know the death toll would have been more than a hurricane. Really would have. Right? There was a famine for gas, and people were getting ready to shoot somebody for it. Imagine if it was necessities of life, like water and food. And so we got this, I was sitting there, and I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. And so we have these people who are in this disaster, in this devastating situation, and all they were concerned about is, how can I get mine?
Yeah.
It was like, forget about everybody else. This one lady crossed the line. She was about to get mobbed, all right? She tried to sneak in and say, hey, I'm going to go online. And she had a canister, only to try to sneak a car in and just try to move on. Nobody was having that. She thought she could get loud so that it could intimidate people. Nobody cared at that point. After staying online for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Oh, my God.
It was like all rationality and all the intelligence that people live with or say they have. At that point of need and famine, it was all out the window. It was just like me, myself, and I. How can I take care of me? You know, and that is just the nature of man. Like, we get into a state of depravity when we don't have the things that we think we want or need in life. So I'm sitting there, I'm just being patient, and I said, Lord, we need to learn crisis management in the church.
Wow.
Yeah. We need to have not just conflict resolution, we need to know crisis management. Because at that point, people needed to see a figure who can stand up and bring calm to the situations that was going on around them. And there was this one guy, he had his car parked, and for the whole 2 hours, he was facilitating everything. He was walking through the cars and he was letting everybody know. He said, just stay calm, you know, to get the gas tank should be in another hour. And I don't know, this guy, he looked weird, he had his hoodie on. But I mean, I was sitting there like, wow, this guy just really calmed everybody that was on his line. He even reassured us. When it started getting crazy in front, he just came and said, don't move, don't worry, I'll talk to the cops. The cops said they're gonna make sure we all get in. And he just brought a calm to everybody that was sitting on the line. And I said, wow, this is a great guy. You know, it was like this leadership potential that was in him just emerged in the middle of a crisis. And he didn't look like the most intelligent person. He didn't look like the most sophisticated person that was on that line. But I realized there was something else on the inside of him that he had. And I realized in times of crisis, it's not what you know. It's the character that you possess that really solidifies you. Great character, not great intelligence. Because once you go through situations, you feel like you're losing your mind.
Yes.
So it's not just the mind, you need the heart, right? In the middle of the circumstances, you need the heart to be able to endure situations that you're facing. Come on. But I realize that starts when you can have an alternative perspective or a perspective that's beyond just what you can see from down here. Amen? Look at Luke. I'm going to turn you guys to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. You see, as the people of God, I said this about 3 Sundays ago, we ought to be the most optimistic people on the face of the earth.
Amen.
We are the ones who are supposed to bring hope to people in times when it seems like there's no hope. We are supposed to be the ones that can help keep a person encouraged in times of crisis. Why? Because we understand our help does not come from man. Our help does not come from what we see around us. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. If my Lord wants me to have gas today, I'll have gas today.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
If he wants me to have gas tomorrow, I'll have my gas tomorrow. But the Lord will make a way. And so it's not about us taking life in our own hands. It's about us trusting that our lives are in His hands.
Yes.
And when we learn to live from that posture and have that mindset, it's no matter what we face, we can rest. We can have peace in the middle of storms. Outside the storm, we can sleep. We can take comfort in knowing that our Lord is my keeper.
Yes.
So look what happened. The Bible talks in Luke chapter 21. Jesus is speaking about some things that will happen in the last days. Verse 25 reads, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Look at verse 26. "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up." Somebody say, "Look up." "Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Amen. Now, I want you to know right now, we're in an era where we're seeing signs in the sun and in the moon. The earth is in distress. Nations are going through states of perplexity. America has, what, $16 trillion in debt? I told you the astronomical numbers. That it goes from if you were to take all the dollar bills and line up, it'll go from here to Jupiter, back down to the earth, and back up to Jupiter. If you take the dollar bills that we owe and lined it up and made it go vertical, it'll go all the way up to the heights of Jupiter. That's how much $16 trillion is in length. All right? We're in a debt that's out of control. That's out of this universe. That's out of this world. All right? And it's something that we can't change on our own. America, when our nation looks up and begins to understand that our help isn't going to come from China, it's not going to come from Russia, it's not going to come from Israel, it's going to come from the Lord. That's when our situation is going to turn around. See, it's not just for people. This is for nations. This is for the church. This is for families. We all need to know, if not at any other time, decision to say, I'm not going to depend on man. I'm not going to depend on my government. I'm not going to depend on all the situations that's going on around me. I'm going to turn my eyes to the hills, and I'm going to keep my focus vertical, because it's only the Lord that's going to be able to keep me in the times that we're facing and the times that are coming. Bible says in verse 26, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth." People are going to have heart attacks. Their hearts will fail them just by looking at the circumstances that's going to hit this earth. This is what the Bible says. But look at the key word right there. Hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things. You see, right now, if you turn on the news, you don't see good news on the news, do you? You see bad news, sad news. You see this person bombed too. This person raped this person. This crime happened. This place, you see bad news. And one of the things that the Lord began to show me, he said that the devil influences media to promote bad news. Wow. Why don't we see good news? Because the Bible says our God shares good news. We preach good news. The gospel is good news. So if God promotes good news, the devil wants to promote bad news. So he influences media to highlight what's going wrong in society. Because good news leads us to faith. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. But the devil needs to give us bad news to lead us to fear. Because faith is to God what fear is to the devil. What's faith? Faith is confidence in God. Fear is confidence in the devil. That's true. Think about it. Fear is the opposite of faith. You know, it's so crazy. Fear is faith in the devil. Fear is faith in the devil. When I have fear, I'm no longer having faith.
Right.
It's impossible.
Right.
But Bible says men's hearts will fail them from fear for looking after those things. You see, what we focus on will determine whether we are in faith or whether we are in fear. If I spend my time looking at the negative situations around me, if I sit there and I listen to the news and it talks about the next earthquake and it talks about the next hurricane and it talks about this person that you know, I heard the news the other day, a report that said by 2040, something, don't quote me on this, but it was way more than over 50% of Americans will have cancer. I think it was way more than that. I think they said like 70% by 2040 will have cancer. That was a report that was put out there. All right? So you'll hear that, say, man, it's a high possibility that I'm going to have cancer.
Wow.
It's like they sown
seeds
in your head, like
negative seed. Come on. It's exactly what the enemy wants to do.
Absolutely.
All right, so they're going to project the fact. Why not project there should be, by 2040, a cure that's going to take care of cancer?
Right.
But they'll project something and say, in 2040, 70% of Americans are going to have cancer. So now you begin to posture yourself to say, well, what if I have cancer? What am I going to do? You begin to make arrangements because the seed has been planted on you. Just like the word of faith comes in as a seed and takes root in you, produces fruit, a word of fear can come in and also produce that. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the only thing that God responds to. And just like, once again, God responds to our faith, the enemy responds to our fear.
Yeah.
So he needs you in fear. How do I get out of fear? I can't look at what I see around me. I have to turn my eyes to the hill and know where my help comes from. Because no matter what negative report the enemy sends my way, I have confidence in God and confidence in his word that he is my present help in the time of trouble. I don't care if they can't find a cure for cancer, because my help for cancer is not coming from this world. It's coming from the Lord. Because he is the one that can heal you of cancer.
Yes.
He is the one that can set you free from any disease. Come on. Our God is a physician. His name is healer. His name is Jehovah Rapha. That means that it's his nature. His nature is that he heals.
Come on.
His name is healer. His nature is healer. He heals sicknesses. He heals diseases.
Yes. Yes.
So we have to now put our faith and turn and go vertical and begin to say, listen, I'm not going to depend on what the government or the media says or what the medical issues come out and report says. I'm going to learn to know what the report of the Lord is. And what he says, I'm going to turn my heart towards this word.
Yes. Yes.
Come on. That's what we talk about. We're going vertical. We're getting a new focus. We're getting a new perspective. I can't focus on what I see because the Bible says your heart will fail you for fear looking after those things which are coming on the earth. They didn't say it might come, which are coming. Hurricane Sandy, just the beginning. Just the beginning. But we don't need to fear, because the Lord is our keeper,
yes.
The Bible says.
Amen.
You know, my car was literally about 6 feet away from being flooded.
Wow.
Over in Canarsie.
Wow.
The flood waters came, and I mean, literally, when I went outside Monday and the waters were flooding the Pattaquin area, I went outside to try to move my car before the waters were rising. By the time I went outside, water was already up to my knee.
Wow.
right? And I had to go up the block, and the further I was walking, the higher the waters were getting towards the car. So I just said, forget it, my car is done. I just left it there, and I was just gonna just go in the morning and see what was still in there that I could probably take out. The next morning, I went outside to the car. I'm walking just like getting ready to just take everything out, whatever I can. As I'm walking up to my car, I'm seeing windows open, doors open, people just airing their car out because everything is just soaked. Water, flood waters just came into it. Literally, 6 feet away, my car, dry. Dry. I asked the neighbor who was outside, he was cleaning out his driveway because his car got flooded, all the stuff got messed up. I was saying, what happened? He would say, yeah, the water stopped right there. I can't do that. He said, the water didn't go up that point, so your car's good.
Wow.
Mind you, 6 feet away, his car is immersed in water. The water just happened to stop where my car was. And I usually don't even park where I park. I usually park up further where all those other cars got soaked. It was just so happened when we came home from church last week, more cars were parked up, I guess, to avoid the storm. So they were parked in my space. But God. Come on. I was last to park. They that are last
shall be
first. So that wasn't even intentional. See, the Lord already had a way so that I can be spared during that storm.
Yes. Yes.
Even in our house, our apartment, the basement got flooded. The boiler was flooded. Everything. Wow. People had to get new boilers. Some people still don't have people on our block because the boilers were covered, water damage, and all this stuff.
My God.
We had heat. We were out of heat probably for that morning. Within by 1 o'clock the next day, our heat was back on. Mm. Didn't have to change the boiler because it just didn't get damaged. Mind you, next door, people got to get new boilers because of what happened to the water. Come on, God preserves his people when you have faith in him. The righteous, the Bible said, will be established on the earth. You got to know and have faith and have confidence in your God, knowing that when his hand is on your life, what happens to other people in the world won't happen to you. You got to believe that. When God delivered the people of Israel, the Bible says that the firstborn of the sons of the people were slain. But the Bible says those who had the blood on the doorposts, the death angel did not touch. It passed over their home. Come on. The Bible says that during that time that the pestilences came and began to eat all the crops in Egypt. But it didn't touch the people of Israel's territory. I'm talking about locusts, insects, knew not to touch certain people's crops.
Let's go.
Why? Because our Lord made heaven and earth.
That's right.
All things exist and consist in him.
Yes.
So what our Lord is in control over that you're not in control over, God will make sure. Listen, locust. You see Idris' home? You see Marcus's home? You see Daryl's house? You see Sharon? You see Ken? Don't go to the house. Skip over.
My God.
Do you know that can happen?
Yes.
And it happens. God will release his angels to take charge over you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
That's what happens when you go vertical. When you begin to have a life where you focus on the unknown that my help comes from the Lord. I'm saying right there, my help comes from you, Lord. My heart will not fail me because what's coming on the earth, although it's come to the earth, is not going to touch me. I know multiple stories that I can share of people who just experienced the storm and God supernaturally covered them, covered their home. And we're going to see that increase because God wants to make it clear that those who are the righteous heirs of God, those people who walk in faith in Christ Jesus will be supernaturally blessed and preserved.
Amen.
That's the blessing of the Lord that makes you rich and has no sorrow.
Thank you, God.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
It's time for you to go vertical. Say, I'm going vertical.
I'm going vertical.
Say, I'm going vertical.
I'm going vertical.
Mentors are failing them for fear for looking after those things. Amen. When you look at negative and fearful things and focus on it, you begin to become fearful. Amen. You get fearful because you always become like the thing you behold.
That's right.
You always become what you focus on. You move into that direction. So if you know the report says, well, women are getting raped on Queens Boulevard, when you step onto Queens Boulevard, man, women are getting raped. So what's now your response? You want to get off of Queens Boulevard? I'm not walking there. I'm not walking there, right? Because you heard a negative report. So now you begin to live your life out of a reaction to a word that's said to be fearful. So you heard a fearful report, you become fearful. The Bible says, he will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We're not supposed to live a life of fear. I don't care what the report says. Oh yeah, the gang is shooting on Duma and Blake or something like that. And we're afraid to go down that block. But the Lord says he is our keeper.
Yes.
I literally believe if bullets start flying, those bullets will pass me.
Amen. Yes, they will. Yes.
They will stop short. They will pass me something. Because the Lord has a work for me to do. Yes. And the Bible says the righteous shall be established on the earth.
Yes.
This is not just for me. This is you. And that's the faith that you need to have in these days.
My God. Thank you, Lord.
Look at this verse in Isaiah. I just feel led to just show you guys. I feel like God wants to make sure that the spirit of fear is broken off from some people's lives.
God
does not want us to live our lives in fear. I said Isaiah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Where are we? In Isaiah 54. It's one of our favorite verses. Now, we believe that we are the righteousness of God. Amen? That he that knew no sin, as we sang this song earlier, he that knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. When you're the right, you know, the word righteous means having right standing with God, meaning that you're in right relationship with God. How many of you know that you're in right standing with God?
Amen.
In Christ. Amen. So if I have right standing in God and I am the righteousness of God, look at one of the promises the Bible says about you. Isaiah 54, verse 13. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Did the Bible just say that?
Yes.
You should be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. So that means when I fear, I move into a state of oppression. The Bible has given us a promise that if you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, you shall be established. You shall not fear, and you should be far from oppression.
Amen.
And not only that, it says, and you should be far from terror. It shall not come near thee. A terrorist can decide to blow up Bushwick, but he won't blow up where I am, because terror will not come near me.
Amen.
God wants you to be free from terrorism. You don't have to be afraid to go on a train and wonder if somebody's going to blow themselves up. Because for some reason, they'll try, the bomb just won't go off because you're there.
Amen.
Amen.
When you have a vertical focus and you realize that the Lord is your helper and that he has established you and that you are the righteous of God, you can be free from fear, you can be free from terror. Hallelujah. Look at this. And this is one of our favorite verses. Fast forward to verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Why? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It's not because of you, but you are preserved and you are secure because the Lord has promised in his word that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So I don't care what weapon the enemy sends your way. I don't care what the reports begin to say. The Lord says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. They will be formed, but
they can't prosper.
But he says in verse 14, if you want to walk in that blessing, is that you got to know that you are righteous before the Lord. And that because of your righteousness, he said the righteousness is not of you, it's of me. Yeah. Knowing this, you can be confident, you can be bold, and your heart does not need to fail you because your righteousness and your help comes from the Lord.
Yes.
Come on. Give me 5 more minutes. So if we look back at Luke, chapter 21. We want to live our lives with an expectation and an anticipation of what God wants to do on our behalf. Is he good? Come on, our God is good. He's faithful to his word. He loves you more than you'll ever know. He watches over you. He wants to preserve your life. He wants to keep you far from terror, far from danger. He doesn't want you to fear. He doesn't want you in fear. He doesn't want you to have fear. He wants you to have faith.
Amen.
Come on. So he says in verse 26, men's hearts fail them because of fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know, I was talking to my friend last night, Pastor D, and we were just talking about the city, and we've been generating our heart where we really believe that New York City is really our city, and we need to begin to live as if this is my city, and I have a responsibility here, you know? And so we were just working out some things that to get people to help out with the cleanup efforts, and as I was just meditating, the Lord began to drop a word in my spirit. And it was based on that verse. He said, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The Lord told me, he said that you see natural disasters. The Bible said that they're going to increase in the last days.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why is it increasing? Because the powers of heaven will be shaken. I said, what do you mean? He said, natural disasters are only a natural correspondence of what's happening in the spiritual realm. Whenever you see an earthquake, whenever you see a hurricane, whenever you see a tornado, you see some type of natural disaster, it's only a natural correspondence of something that's happening in the spiritual realm. And when the powers of heaven are shaken, speaking about the enemy, principalities and powers, when they are experiencing defeat in the spirit, they produce a natural correspondence on earth.
Wow. Right.
Got it. So what just happened in the East Coast region was that whatever principality was over in the East Coast region just experienced a shaking by the power of God through the prayers of the righteous. Something happened and it manifested on the earth as a natural disaster. Bible says he's going to shake the heavens and he's going to shake the earth in the last days. But we can still be confident and bold and knowing that no matter what I'm seeing around, that's just the power of shaking. Remember Jesus said, he said that he saw Satan fall like what? Lightning on the earth. That was a natural
disaster.
Yes.
Wow. Go, Jay.
Come on.
Go, Jay.
You know what the word Sandy means? The name Sandy. I'm going to show you guys this. This is cool, right? Sandy has a name. You know, every power, every principality has a name, right? You guys know that? You know, when you know the name of a principality or a power and you call it by name, you have the ability to take authority over it. Check this out. Sandy. There it is. The meaning of Sandy is defender of humanity or protector. Watch this, Ryan. Sandy means defender of humanity or protector. You know, every name has a meaning. So the description also said that people with this name have a deep inner desire to use their abilities in leadership and to have personal independence. They would rather focus on large important issues and delegate the details. All right? So what does that have to do with Sandy and the hurricane? It means defender of humanity, protector. I believe that there's been a shift in the East Coast region where this principality called Sandy was protecting humanity with a false protection.
Wow.
And it was actually keeping people afraid instead of emerging as the leaders that we were called to be. So now what we're going to see in the next few years is that now you're going to see leaders emerging out of the East Coast region who are now being held back by a principality called Sandy. God shook the heavens and brought this power as leaders in government and leaders in politics and leaders in the media. They're going to now arise without any oppression because that power has been broken over our region. Now this is spiritual intelligence. This is not stuff you're going to hear on the media, on the news. They don't understand this stuff. This comes by revelation. Come on. So when you see the natural disasters is increasing on the earth, that's only because powers of heaven are being shaken. Enemies are being brought down. And God has given us increased authority. Amen. The Bible says that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness over the people, but the glory of the Lord is going to rise on us. God is going to give you authority. Say, God has given me authority. He's given me power. Come on, and there is a leader emerging in you. There is an authority emerging on the inside of you. There is a power that's rising on you as you begin to know that the Lord is my help and he's coming from the hills. And as he comes, he's bringing down principalities and powers. As he's coming to the earth, he is bringing down strongholds that have been over our generation and over our regions. Come on. He is coming, and he is coming with a shout, the Bible says. And I believe that now, as the people of God, we are looking with expectation and anticipation of his glory to emerge into our lives, into our ministries, into our homes, into our cities. I want us to now begin to say, I know that my help comes from the Lord. I'm not going to depend on Obama. I know we're going to vote this Tuesday, but we're going to vote and we're going to believe God that whoever he wants in power will be in power.
Right.
And then we're going to pray for them and support them because God knows best.
Amen.
You see, as we close, Bible says all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You see, Sandy is working together for our good.
Yes.
It may not seem like it in the moment, but when you have a vertical focus and a vertical perspective,
yes,
you understand, God, you're working this out for your glory, and you're going to allow me to be a part of this.
Yes.
Our brother Andrew alluded to this. He said, listen, people who didn't have jobs,
yes,
before Sandy are going to have jobs.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Contractors, electricians,
yes,
architects will be called. To work in construction will get work now.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
God is awesome.
You see, when you have a vertical perspective, you begin to see life from God's perspective, and all things are working together for good. That means instead of me seeing the darkness, I begin to see the light. Instead of me seeing the evil, I see the good. I see how God is working this out for his glory.
Amen.
Woo. And money that we seem to be going through a recession, you see, I told you, there's no such thing as a recession in life, in heaven, or in earth. What we know as recessions is simply money moving somewhere else. Money is not disappearing from the earth. It's the same money. It's just shifting somewhere else. So God needs to shift you and get you into a position where the money is shifting to. Come on. And guess what? Money wants to come into your hands because money belongs to the righteous. But the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. So when you understand your righteous position in God, God will say, all right, I'm going to let this money flow into your direction. And so when God is shifting you, some of you may have been going through some strains and some struggles financially, not because God isn't working. He is. He's positioning you.
Thank you, God. Thank you,
Lord. You might see your job today. You might say, hey, I need you to come in. You can't say, oh, God, what's going on? You can't lose heart. Say, God, I look to you because I know that you're setting me up for another place, a better job, a better position. Come on. And I believe really with all of our hearts, we have to become a people who are vertical focused. Focus on God's superiority over our situations. See, God, I know you know more than me. I know you know better. You know more than our government. You know more than our presidents. You know better than all the economic distinguished professionals in society. You know best, Lord. Amen. And so we are going to now look at this verse one more time in verse 28, and we'll close. The Bible says in verse 28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Go vertical. Lift up your heads. Don't be downtrodden. Don't focus on what's not happening. Focus on what God is doing. He is shaking the heavens. He is shaking the earth. The powers of heaven are coming down, and God is getting ready to exalt you. He's getting ready to lift you up. He is getting ready to, he's actually getting your attention first. He's using the situation just to get your attention. I know most of our churches have probably got a little full today in some ministry, right? You notice that? Some of our churches got more full because people in crisis begin to recognize Christ.
Yes.
All right. So he's getting our attention, but now our response should be, Lord, I'm tired of looking elsewhere. I'm tired of looking down. I'm tired of looking around. I'm going to look up and know that my redemption comes from you. Amen?
Amen.
And so as we close, let's all stand. God wants us to be a people in this day that look to him for answers, that look to heaven for solutions, for the problems and for the crises that we will find in society. Amen? And God does not want us to become byproducts of our environment. He doesn't want us to adapt to the fear and the terror that may come upon humanity as we go through struggles. But he wants us to understand that I'm a vertical man, I'm a vertical woman. I can stand upright because I know my help comes from the Lord, and my Lord is faithful. He will never go against his word. Anything that he says in his word he will do for me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises in judgment shall be condemned. Amen. When the doctors say something negative over your body, you can condemn that word, the Bible says. I know more than one person here who's experienced the healing power of God in their lives. That there was a negative report that came, and they declared the word of God, and the circumstance changed. Listen, the world was created to respond to God. The world was created to respond to his word, because he created it. So when you become a vertical person, you begin to use God's word and begin to speak it into his world.
Yes.
The reason why the world is getting more jacked up is because they've been going astray from his word.
Right.
But when the people of God begin to declare his word back into his world, everything will be realigned. You remember in the beginning, the Bible says in Genesis 1, the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And then the Lord began to speak into the world, and the world began to align itself. Begins to get restored. Come on. And so I have to now begin to have a mindset, Ijo, where I won't say what I see. I'm beginning to see what I say.
Amen.
I'm going to say the word of God and watch it manifest in my life. Amen. Because creation was created to respond only to his word.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
When you're a vertical person, you stand on the word of God, because this is how you get access to his world. You see his word, you begin to speak it, and then he begins to manifest his world in your life. So Jesus said to pray, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
Amen. Do you see that right now? I want you to see that. God wants his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't care what circumstance or what situation you're struggling with right now. I believe that by this declaration right now, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no hurricanes in heaven.
There's no earthquakes in heaven.
Therefore, I'm free from the effects, from storms, from earthquakes, from hurricanes, from tornadoes, because your will is being done in my life on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, whatever you bind on earth, whatever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I bind every power, every force, every principality that tries to wage war against me. The gates of hell shall not prevail against me. For I am the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the righteous sons and daughters of God. We are established. We are free from fear. We are free from terror. We are free from fear. We are free from oppression.
No weapon
formed against me, formed against my family, formed against my finances shall prosper. I condemn principalities, powers. I bind you to the word of God,
and I loose
peace, joy, and righteousness.
For
this is the kingdom of God.
And it's manifesting
all around my life,
in my city,
at my job. Come on.
Thank you, God.
Can we look up right now? Just look to heaven right now. Just look up.
Thank you, God.
Just look up.
Thank you, Father.
Say, Lord, I know my help.
Lord, I know my help.
It comes from you.
It comes from you.
I know my help.
I know my help.
Comes from you.
Comes from you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, God. Thank you, Father.